everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez, and this is the Week in Review.
Everyone who wants peace now must raise their voices.
I hope Benjamin Netanyahu burns in hell.
Those are a couple of stories that we're going to be following for you. President Biden announces a historic peace deal. That wasn't. One Irish member of parliament you just heard right there telling Benjamin Netanyahu to burn in hell. And old Ukrainian men being dragged off the streets to fight against Russia. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact. Let's do it. All right, what do you say that we get started? The gang's all here, as we like to say, and or like they used to say in the good old days, right? Whatever those were. Joining me as part of our esteemed panel, where we promise fresh and not mundane opinions, are the hosts of the Critical Hour on Radio Sputnik, Garland Nixon and Dr. Wilmer Leon. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Let's start off talking about the President of the United States, President Biden. He stepped up to the microphone to announce this historic peace deal with Israel. Kind of stumbled his way through it, which is kind of what we've gotten used to. But in the end, this was a strong, powerful, and important message.
Israel has offered a comprehensive new proposal. It's a roadmap to an enduring ceasefire and the release of all hostages. The United States has worked relentlessly to support Israeli security, to get humanitarian supplies into Gaza, to get a ceasefire and a hostage deal to bring this war to an end.
Bring this war to an end. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, my gosh, really? Israel's agreed to a deal and Biden's pulled this one off and he's got other countries involved. This is amazing. But then they asked Bibi Netanyahu about this deal and he said, what deal? What are you talking about? We're doing no deal. There's no deal. Not only is there no deal, we're going to keep doing everything that we've been doing in the past. Guys, I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking that maybe that this looks so much now like it's Israel that is really calling the shots when the President of the United States announces that they've come up with a deal. And then it looks like the Israeli war cabinet says to Bibi Netanyahu, no, you ain't doing this. And he says, I ain't doing this. And the United States says, okay, we ain't doing this. I mean, Dr. Wilmer Leon, you start.
Well, I think this highlights a couple of things. One, we've seen in prior conflicts that when it seems as though things are just at their absolute worst, we find out that behind the scenes, things have been negotiated and we wind up saying, oh my goodness, how we get to this point so quickly.
Yeah.
In this event, that's not happening. I think what you're seeing here is there are political problems in the United States and Netanyahu is having serious political problems in Israel. And so Netanyahu is saying one thing to Biden. Mm. Biden is hoping to hear one thing for his political expediency. And then as soon as they start talking about ceasefire, all of a sudden, the Smotriches of the world and the Ben-Gvirs of the world, they are saying, look, we will dissolve your coalition if you continue down this path. So Netanyahu, on one hand, is struggling for his political salvation on the one side and still trying to sound somewhat reasonable on the other.
Here's another part of this, and I'm gonna play something for you now as well, Garland. The entire world, as we know, has been calling out Israel for genocide. Their words, right? 153 countries, to be exact, have already come out against Israel's attacks in Gaza. There have been so many statements of condemnation. We couldn't possibly play them all if we tried. I heard about 20 interesting ones just over the weekend. So we had to choose one. And I found this one. I want you to hear this because I think it's pretty strong. This is a guy named Thomas Gould. He is a member of the Irish Parliament. Here are his words.
When you look at the photographs and the pictures and the videos that come from there, and you hear the screams of people screaming as the Israeli government burned men, women and children alive, They burned them alive. And the world stands by while 15,000 children are being slaughtered.
I hope that Benjamin Netanyahu burns in hell the same way them children and their families burned. I hope him and his generals and the Farai government in Israel, that when their God finally brings him to the resting place, that he deserves to burn in hell.
This is not a guy in some Arab country complaining once again about Israel, as we've heard in the point. This is an MP in the Irish Parliament, Garland. Your reaction?
And this is not an isolated opinion either, and nor is it simply people outside of the United States. You know, I remember seeing a movie years ago. Some people may remember. I don't remember the name. But there was a guy that had a puppet, and the puppet became evil and possessed him and killed people and stuff. And the whole question is the guy's just crazy, or is the puppet really possessed and things like that? And that's the rabbit hole we're going down now, where the Biden administration provides everything, the money, the weapons, the targeting and everything to the Netanyahu administration. So the question becomes, is this a puppet? Is this a Biden administration? What is the true relationship between them? But the bottom line is this. This fury and anger is at the Netanyahu government. The longer this goes on, the more that fury and anger bleeds over into the Biden administration.
Yeah. You were going to say, Wilmer?
He is speaking not politically, he's speaking morally.
Yeah.
And this is an appeal based upon morality. He talks about the Israeli Pharaoh government.
Wow.
And the passion that the man has, by the end, he's just about in tears.
Mm-hmm.
He is so disgusted with this.
That is an incredibly powerful
presentation.
I think you're both right. I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. I mean, I've traveled to Israel. There are many wonderful things that Israel has been able to accomplish over the years. I think to a certain extent, they have gained the credibility that they somewhat deserve technologically and in many other areas. But at this point in time, in our history, it seems to me that if Netanyahu continues doing what he's doing, if the IDF continues doing what it's doing, and if the Biden administration continues to back him, this situation, this perception of Israel that we see in the world right now will continue for decades. It won't be forgotten, and it will affect their foreign policy in many, many ways. I don't know how. I just have lived on this earth long enough to know what's coming. It isn't going to be pretty for Israel because of this. And I wish somebody would knock on someone's head over there and say, stop, because you're only hurting yourself and you're hurting Jews who are good people who will travel around the world, and that's how they're going to be stamped. I mean, am I wrong?
Here's the problem with your argument. It's rational. And what people are recognizing, it's rational, it's reasonable. But what people are recognizing about this conflict is it's not rational. We're hearing things from the government of Israel that's so extreme that it's not rational. Yeah. We hear the government of the United States now saying that the collective punishment of Palestinians can be used as leverage in ceasefire negotiations. These things are not rational, nor are they political. They're immoral, and they solicit an emotional reaction, as we saw with the Irish MP and people on the streets in the United States.
Yeah, it's something to look at. By the way, let me get to something else here real quick, Wilmer. There's a video that corporate and Western media are not going to show you. You won't see this on the BBC. You won't see this on CNN or Fox or Sky, etc., because they don't want you to know this. But here it is. Look at this. This is recent video. This just happened. This is a guy, maybe in his 40s, maybe in his 50s. I can't tell. He's being taken off the streets. He's being kidnapped by the government of Ukraine, agents who are on the street looking for people like this so they can conscript them and then send them to fight in the war. And this is happening now all the time inside of Ukraine. Unbelievable. Wilmer, I'll let you pick this one up.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. And Jens Stoltenberg is going to tell you that Ukraine is winning the war. President Biden will tell you Ukraine is winning the war and all we have to do is just send more HIMARS and send them another $90 billion worth of arms. And these are the tactics, you know, in the United States, you call them jump out squads in, right. in the cities, the jump out boys.
Yes.
Well, they are dragging 18 and 20 year old men off of the street and conscripting them to death.
Yeah.
Because they've run out of arms.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively, they've run out of people. And these are the, what do I tell you? The last kicks of the dying mule
yeah.
are the most dangerous.
Well, you guys are in Washington, D.C. Interestingly enough, the Washington Post just ran a story last week describing how the training, even if they do take some 40 or 50 year old guy and put him in training to send him to the front lines, the training in and of itself is completely insufficient. Don't take my word for it. If you read that Washington Post article, you'll find they quote commanders, soldiers, recruits, and they all say, we're not learning anything, and the people they're giving us don't even know how to hold a gun. I mean, that's what we're seeing over there right now, Carlin.
And what we're seeing more than anything now is the reality that Ukraine is nothing but a mercenary force for the U.S. empire, that they use these people as cannon fodder. That's all they've ever been. And the more desperate they get, the more the less important it gets to maintain the illusion that Ukraine is fighting Russia. They just want this. Yeah. They want this to drag this out until they run out of Ukrainians. In fact, Lindsey Graham and John McCain both said, fight to the last Ukrainian. They ain't out of Ukrainians. The husband is gone. They'll be back for the wife next.
Yeah, it's amazing because, you know, if they had chosen wisely about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago now, no, about a year and a half ago, they had a possibility of doing a deal. The Russians came to the table. They said, all right, let's settle this thing. And it was Washington and London who said, no, 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 Mr. Zelensky, you're not doing any deals here. They've continued this, and now they're in a much worse situation. The Russians are still willing to deal, and it's the West that's telling these guys, no, hold on, keep fighting. And you're thinking, keep fighting with what? Keep fighting with what? They don't have anybody left to fight with. Now all they can do is send missiles into Russia. Yeah, that's real smart. Anyway, when we come back, let's talk Donald Trump. Apparently, he had his day in court. And it wasn't a good day. We're going to talk about Donald Trump being found guilty on all 34 of 34 counts with my guest. You stay right there. What's it mean for the election? We'll be right back.
We need to counter the Russian state control narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez, monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays. On est en France, quoi, c'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
Уважаемые граждане России, мною принято решение о проведении специальной военной операции.
Когда все началось, была паника. Как вообще такое может быть, когда мы вообще все привыкли красиво где-то выходить и завтракать, вообще такие все с прическами, с макияжем?
Наверное, есть некоторое чувство вины еще. Я с 14 года побывала в 23 странах. Я лежала на пляже на Мальдивах. Гуляла по Европе. Вот зачастую меня спрашивают, ты можешь хотя бы один день телеграмму читать? Я говорю, не могу. Там бойца надо забрать из одной воинской части резервной в другую. Если сегодня не прочитаю, не сообщу в пол, его заберут штурмовики.
Сейчас же все говорят, что вот элита, она там против СВО. Может быть, у моей героини другое мнение. Посмотрим.
Welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez. What do you say we get right into this one? I mentioned it just before we left. Donald Trump is found guilty on 34 of 34 counts that he was accused of. That means he's now a convicted criminal. That means he is the first president in the history of the United States to hold that distinction. So what happens? The very next day when he shows up at, to be fair, a very well choreographed event, a UFC fight, this.
Donald Trump is in the building in the form of president, getting a standing ovation from the assembled masses here at UFC 302.
You know, it's amazing to look at that and then consider that at the same time, the son of the sitting president of the United States is now embroiled in a court case that has to do with prostitution and drugs and taxes and guns. And in the middle of it, his wife is yelling obscenities at some guy from the Trump, who's a loyalist to Trump. I mean, this whole thing is out of a Fellini movie. And the world must be watching and going, is that the United States, really? Garland, pick it up.
Let's start here. The conviction, I don't think it's going to have any effect. No, let me change this. I was going to say it's going to have any effect on Donald Trump, but it will, because it will motivate those who support him even more. They are of the opinion that this was unfair. It's going to motivate them. I have personally heard people who are angry at the system say, personally, a good friend of mine said, after that, I'm voting for Donald Trump because the system hates him so bad. I think that the people in charge, they don't realize how angry people are at them. Right now, they'd vote for an old bag of rotten potatoes if they thought that the system didn't like potatoes.
Yeah, you know, I think you're onto something there. I'm no fan of Donald Trump. I think most of the stuff that he's done in his life is absolutely disgusting. That said, I think because he is so good at putting himself as the outsider at a time when the inside is so rotten, he wins. He wins by default, really, especially given what's going on right now, what we see this administration, this CIA, this State Department, this president doing on a daily basis. He just has to sit out there throwing jabs at the system, and he wins, even if he's a disgusting person. I don't know. Maybe you disagree with me, Wilbur.
No, Rick, on that one, I'm right there with you. And it's really interesting to look at Donald Trump going to a UFC match, because he started out in this genre in the WWF. Yeah. So what we really see is Donald Trump reverting back to the mean. And to your point, he's the consummate marketeer.
Yes.
And so you have to respect him in that regard.
Yes.
He understands the market. He understands how to sell,
Yeah. Even
though usually what he's selling is all sizzle and no steak. So in this instance, what we see is an economy where people are suffering, and he understands how to message to those people, a la Bill Clinton, right. I feel your pain.
Right.
Even though he has no clue, he is able to construct the narrative.
Yes.
It resonates. And what did he always talks about deconstructing the administrative state.
Yeah. It's almost as if, and I'll just repeat this. The people who are voting for Trump in many ways aren't voting for Trump. They're voting against the system, which has just let them down in so many ways. And Trump is so good at understanding what that need and desire and that messaging is. It's like he's just creating a television commercial, and he's it. He's the television commercial. And the television commercial says, I agree with you. All of that sucks. You know what? I'll fix it for you, even though he doesn't know how. That's why. Go ahead, Garland.
I, I think there's a combination of things we're looking at. Number one, people feel helpless, right? They feel like there's nothing I can do to affect the system. There's nothing I can do to make change. Is there anything that I can do? Well, when they feel helpless, they'll be happy just to throw a punch. So they'll throw a punch. Additionally, I think there's certainly an element who says, well, he wants to do something different. He thinks different. He sees different. He's not one of them. Maybe that'll work. So there are people out here who feel like, you know, okay, maybe I'll try anything. And there are other people who have given up. And they're going to vote for Donald Trump specifically because they have given up on the system.
No, but those people you just mentioned, they may be right. I mean, here's what we know. Exactly. We don't know. We know this, though. The guy who's in the White House right now will not do that. The guy who's in the White House right now is extremely establishment and he's tripled and quadrupled down on establishment as we know it in this country. Something that a lot of people are saying maybe we ought to relook at. He's not going to do that, not to mention the fact he can barely walk and talk. So it makes sense for people to be going in that direction. And I know that's just the opinion that we have as Americans looking at this, but I think that's where most Americans are right now. All right, and I got another video for you.
He holds himself out to be a martyr. They're coming at you through me.
Right. Which is smart, by the way, as well.
Yeah.
The messaging is solid. The man, questionable. Let's move on. Watch this video. It went viral on TikTok, and with the election just 5 months away, yeah, it's giving us a pretty good idea of where American voters stand right now.
If you had to pick a Democrat or a Republican, a Joe Biden or Donald Trump, gun to your head, who would you vote for?
The gun would go off.
The gun would go off. I got to tell you, that is pretty a clever response. And the reason I wanted to play that for you guys is continuing the conversation. What about the people in the middle? They say it's only about 2%, but that 2% can move this election. Who are they? Why are they there? And which way are they going to go? How much are they going to be swayed by, for example, the fact that Donald Trump is now a convicted criminal, and a guy who's a convicted criminal is going to be sitting in the White House? Will they vote for that guy? I mean, what do you all think? You start, if you could, Wilmer.
What we're going to see, I believe, as an outcome of the 2024 election, and Garland and I have been saying this for months and months and months, there are going to be more people staying home raking leaves and not voting. That's what the takeaway from that clip is, that folks are ducked. The winner of this election, I believe, will win a thin margin in a thin margin of turnout. And people are going, and this, I think, could also very well be the beginning of a significant move towards third party politics in the United States.
Well, let me add something to that, because I've got another graph I want to show you guys, which kind of illustrates what we're talking about or what you were just addressing. If there are some Americans right now who are tired of just the system, as we have discussed, of being lied to, of a situation where they can't get up, where they're kept in the dark about things, it's a certain demographic group, and more than, we don't fit in that demographic group, by the way, neither of the three of us. They're 18 to 35. So what does this group that's 18 to 35 say? Well, new poll just came out. Look what it says. This study found that young Americans believe their country, the United States of America, is a dying empire led by really bad people. 65% say nearly all politicians are corrupt and make money from their political power. Only 7% of Americans, 18 to 35, disagreed with that statement. 64% agreed with the statement that America is in decline. 51% say that the political system in the U.S. doesn't work for people like them. Wow. When I saw that, I thought, wow. You know, I hear that from my kids. When I sit down with my kids who are about that age, I hear that kind of stuff where they're kind of looking at the country the three of us grew up with, thinking we were the greatest country on earth despite our faults. They don't see it that way anymore. And what I don't know, Garland, what does that mean to you?
It means that when they see a couple of 80-year-old guys, that one of them is really confused and the other one's, you know, kind of a blowhard running for office, it just solidifies what they already believe. These people are looking at the system, and they're saying, you know, it's not Trump or Biden or RFK Jr. or Jill Steiner. Nobody's going to save this thing. That this ship has a hole below the waterline. There's a systemic problem here. That's what they're recognizing. And look what happened. These are the people who lost all of their jobs and got crushed by the lockdowns and stuff during COVID. These are the people who are mired in student loans for the rest of their, you know, for their foreseeable future. Their life, their future is gone, and their present ain't looking so good either.
Yeah. Wilmer, I'm going to give you the last minute on this, but as you were talking about, you know, maybe Trump and Biden, I was thinking of Pelosi and McConnell. The last time I saw McConnell sitting there, and it's just so sad that he freezes and he can't talk. And I'm thinking, I'm a 22-year-old person. I'm looking at that guy, and I'm going, that's my country? I don't know. To you, Wilmer. Finish us up. Take us home.
The American dream for them is now a nightmare. And when you look at unemployment, when you look at wealth disparity, when you look at homelessness, when you look at inflation, the American dream for them is no longer working. It is becoming a nightmare. That's why they don't trust the system, because it's no longer two different ideologies vying for the best interests of the American people. It's basically two different rhetorical groups representing the same wealthy interests.
Yeah, and it's where we are, and it's what we hope we can change, and that's why we have these conversations. Because I do have hope that at some point, if we look at this enough and have smart conversation about it, there will be the right people who will come forward and be the anti-Pelosi's and the anti-McConnell's, as I mentioned just a little while ago. Guys, always a great conversation. Thank you so much for everything you bring to this show. I really, really appreciate it, and so do our viewers all over the world. Remember to always look outside your own box. That's what we like to think around here, because we don't think that truths live in boxes. I'm Rick Sanchez, and we'll be looking for you next time.